Psalm number 23. One of the most interesting psalms, I think. For me, anyway. I have an odd relationship with it. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But the 23rd psalm, Psalm 23. And you read it to yourself, and I'll read it aloud here. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Again, we thank you for the rain we had yesterday. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people today. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless this simple truth. Help us to apply it to our lives, make it real for us, and something that will help us as we go through this week. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen. I've always had an unusual relationship with the 23rd Psalm. And the reason is because I've performed numerous funerals over my 36 plus years, almost 38 years, in the ministry. It seems the majority of the times I've read this verse, or these verses, has been at funerals. And I know that's all because of what verse 4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I know that many people choose that psalm for their loved one at the time of their home going, or their time where they go off into eternity. However, over the years of studying this chapter, this psalm, I believe that this psalm is more for the living than it ever has been meant for the dead. So let's take a good look at this psalm today, almost in a verse-by-verse format. For as it starts, the Lord is my shepherd. When I read that, I see it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord is my shepherd in general, but personally. He's my personal shepherd. The Lord, He is my shepherd. Everybody's got a mama. I hope everybody's got a mama anywhere. Everybody's got a daddy. They weren't born under a rock or found under a rock, although sometimes I think that's where my wife came from, under a cabbage patch somewhere. But the truth is that we all have parents. And I remember when I was a youngster in school, I'd see folks and they'd be all their parents. You know, the parents would all be called out for an assembly we'd have, and us kids would get up and we'd do something, and the parents would all watch us. And there were the parents out there, but then again, there were my parents out there. When I was a young person in high school, I ran track and field. I ran the 100-yard dash. I was very fast. I set a number of records in my racing, and my mom and dad never came for many, many races to watch any race. And I begged and begged and begged my mom and dad to come to watch me run one time. And I remember they promised they'd be there at this one particular race. It was qualifying for a state. And I kept watching the stands, and they didn't come, and they didn't come, and I ran the first qualifying race, and my heart wasn't in it, and I didn't qualify. And the coaches, there's a couple different coaches from different teams, they all came up to me and said, "What is wrong with you today? We know you can easily qualify. So we've spoken to the judges, and you're going to run another qualifying round." And I said, "But I came in second," and they said, "Yeah, but you weren't trying. We all could see it." And I remember, as clear as if it was happening right now, right as I was lining up for that second event, for that second opportunity, I saw my mom walk into the grandstand area. I watched her as she walked across and sat in the second row, down by the starting line. Then I saw my dad come up and sit down. And I never ran as fast as I ran that race. Because my parents were there. When I read this, it's not the Lord of the shepherd of all of His people. The Lord's my shepherd. My personal shepherd. Wherever I go, there He is. Whatever I do, there He is. He careth for me as if I were the only person living because He's my shepherd. That's why it's written in that form, so that you and I can claim Him as my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not that we shall not want, but I shall not want. Why? Because He's there for me. He's there for you. He's there for us individually. It's an individual decision that we make to make Him our shepherd. He wants to shepherd everyone. For there's no one that the Lord does not love. He cares about you and me and every aspect of us. But have you ever noticed when you pray? If you go to the Lord in prayer, He's never too busy for you. He never says, just a minute, Dale. I'm talking to Betty right now. And I don't have time for you. Now, my mama used to say, now hush, Doug. I'm talking to Denny right now. When I'm done with Denny, I'll talk to you. But the Lord's never done that to me. If He's talking to Betty, I don't know it. Because He's talking to me too. And He's given me just as much attention as He's giving Betty. And Betty doesn't know He's talking to me. And I don't know He's talking to Betty. Because that is how personal God treats us individually. So Betty never has to worry about Doug taking up too much of God's time. Amen. And I don't have to worry about Dale taking up too much of God's time. And I don't have to worry about somebody else taking up too much of God's time. That He doesn't have time for me. Because He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I thank the Heavenly Father that He gave me a shepherd. The shepherd is an owner, or acts upon the authority of the owner, and is appointed or hired by the owner to act on behalf of the owner to care for the sheep. And that's what I am. I'm a sheep. And God has appointed Himself as owner to take care of me, His sheep. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my Lord, my God, is also my Savior. I thank my Heavenly Father for His gifts and His payment for sin on my behalf by His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that I could go to heaven. Now I realize that that's for you as well. But it's very personal to me. For I know the day I was saved. I know the place where God spoke to me. I remember how I sat right now about where Dale and Betty are sitting in the church building that I was in. And I remember my mother-in-law, who wasn't my mother-in-law at the time, standing next to me. And I know they gave an invitation in the church. An invitation is a time in a church service where after God has spoken to us through His Word, we respond to His Word by coming forward. And the preacher had preached. It was a Sunday night. My hair was long and I had big bell bottoms on. They were so big that you couldn't see my shoe on, you know. I thought I was really cool. I had a really silky style shirt with big puffy sleeves that button up the side, and there were probably about 15 buttons that would button up the side, then it would puff over the top of, buddy, I thought I had high heels on. I was Mr. Cool when I walked in there. 1977. And they gave the invitation. I was afraid to go. My mother-in-law was 4'10". She tapped me on the hand, looked up at me. I looked down at her and she said, I'll take you up there if you want to go. Me, this big, strong, brave young man, said, okay, if you take me, I'll go. She walked me down the aisle. The preacher met me at the front. See, I remember the day of my salvation because it was my salvation, the day that Jesus saved me, where He became my shepherd. And you have an experience like that as well. the day that the Lord became your shepherd, the day that He purchased your eternity for you. I was 21 years old. My children were much younger. My grandchildren have been young when they've received Christ as Savior. And I thank God for each one of those, but I'm glad He's my daughter's Savior. I'm glad that He's my son's Savior. I'm glad that He's my grandson's Savior. But can I tell you, most of all, I'm glad He's my Savior. And that He's my shepherd. And just as much as He'll shepherd them, I choose to allow Him to shepherd me. Now, salvation is for anyone who will trust Christ. And heaven then becomes your home. But that does not mean at that time we've allowed Him to be our shepherd. But He becomes my owner the day He becomes my Savior. In John chapter 10 and verse number 11, it says this, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, it says this, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In 1977, the day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I got a shepherd who was also my owner. And I'm no longer my own. My hands have no right to do what I want to do. My hands are supposed to do what my shepherd tells them to do. My feet aren't to go where I want them to go. My feet are to go where my shepherd leads them. He's my leader. I once did everything I wanted to do. And can I tell you where it led me? Sin. Led me to rebellion. Led me into trouble, mostly. And every time, over these 38 years, that I've gone ahead and left my shepherd, He's still there and He's still trying to guard me, but I'm going to go my own way. And I leave and I do what I want to do. I always end up in trouble. Every time. But then I go back because He comes after me. And He picks me up with those loving arms. I confess my sins and He says He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And He brings me back to the sheepfold. And He cares for me just as much as He did the very first day I received Him as my Savior. He is my shepherd. He's my owner. He has chosen me to be His sheep. And now I need to choose Him and allow Him to be my shepherd. For there is nothing my shepherd has not provided for me if I allow my shepherd to provide it for me. I'll say that again. There's nothing my shepherd has provided for me that I've allowed Him to provide for me that I don't need, that He's not provided. John chapter 10 verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine." So I know He's my shepherd. I know who He is. In this verse, He's teaching the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing in all the world that He's not provided for me and everything that I need, if I will allow Him to provide it." So as we go through life and we think of trying to figure out how we need to get where we want to be, we need to realize that it's not us getting us where we want to be. We need to realize it's the Lord who's our shepherd, and we need to go where He directs us, and then we'll be where we want to be. And really, that's what it's all about. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." The word Alpha is the letter A in the Greek alphabet. The word Omega is the letter Z in the Greek alphabet. So what He's saying is, I'm the A to Z. So you name it, you spell it, I am it for you. So what is it that you need? Spell it. He says, that's okay. It's covered from the A to Z. I got it covered for you. Because He's my provider. He is that which doth everything I need. So sheep don't need, that's us, don't need to try to figure out how to get somewhere. We just need to get to Him and allow Him to lead us to where He wants us to be. So where are the sheep? I've learned things about sheep. We live around here. There's sheep all over here. And I'm learning things about sheep. I'm learning that sheep are amazing animals. And they're amazingly ignorant animals at that. Sheep do not take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more care than any class of livestock. And they need endless attention and meticulous care. Cows, you can put them out in the pasture, they'll eat when they're ready. They'll sit down, they'll drink water when they're ready. They'll lay down there in the field. They'll let the food digest from one stomach to the other stomach. Sheep aren't that smart. Well, of course, they don't have two stomachs either, but they don't take care of themselves that well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's no accident that God looks at you and I and calls us sheep. Can I tell you why? Because we don't take care of ourselves right. Just like sheep don't take care of themselves right. We need more attention than any other class of creation that God has ever made. We need His attention, endless attention, and we need His meticulous care, or we end up in a mess. And unfortunately, for many of our friends and loved ones, that mess is eternity in hell. And for many, even good Christians, the mess we end up in is a life that's wrecked and ruined by sin because we didn't allow the shepherd to lead us where we need to go. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved in compassion towards them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things." So Jesus calls us sheep. Not just those of us who are saved, but people in general. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." That's my shepherd. My shepherd goes before me. He leads me. He's been there. He knows what's coming. He knows how to prepare me for what's coming. He knows how to care for me for what's coming. But when I don't follow him and I go my own way, and sheep do that, they do that very easily. They go their own way and think they know what they're doing. I got this under control. I can handle this. I don't need to run to God. I can handle this. And when we do that, we're going in a direction that He isn't before us. So He's not preparing our way. And we run into difficulties. And here's what we say. Well, how could God let this happen? Well, God didn't let this happen. He was leading you and me. And we got out from behind Him. And we no longer were following Him. And we got into a thicket. And before you know it, we fell into a hole. And we couldn't get out of the hole. And we're crying and crying and crying, "Dear God, get us out of the hole." And He's way over here. Because we left following Him. But because of His kindness and His mercy, He leaveth the 99. And He finds that one lost sheep. That's me and you. Not that we're unsaved, but we got lost. We left following Him. And He finds us in that hole and He says, "Here, let me help you out of that hole." And we look up at Him and we say, "Where you been?" He says, "I've been here. You quit following." So let's just be careful here as we look at this in Psalm 23. Let me give you some observations. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I need. He's everything I want. He is my shepherd. He taketh me to places where all I need is already provided for me. If I'll just relax, take a deep breath, and allow Him to lead me. He promises me to lead me to green pastures. Now, what does that green pastures mean? That green pasture means pastures of tender grass. And what do sheep do? They eat that tender grass. It's the nourishment they need. It's the strength that they need. It's the energy that they need. It's the food that they need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why am I not going to want? Because He's leading me to pastures that take care of everything I have and need for. So He's already known what's going to happen. There's been people around for an awful long time, don't you think? And it's amazing how generation after generation after generation, we do the same thing, and the same thing, and the same thing. So He already knows where we're going. So, and how we got there. He's seen some things down the road. I was talking with my father-in-law this week, and we were talking about a particular issue. And he said, well, you could do this. I was talking about a repair that needed to be done. And I said, yes, that's correct. And I said, and I've explained that to my children. And he said, but they don't listen, do they? I said, no, they have their own way. He said, yeah, but sooner or later they're going to come to our way, aren't they? I said, that's because the only way it works. And that's exactly how we are in life. We don't think God's been down this road. But He has been. And because of that, I can trust Him. Because He's going to lead me to green pastures. And if He's going to lead me to green pastures, He's going to take care of me. That means it's better than going over and eating in the weed patch. When I was a young person, the big saying in my day was, the grass is always greener. You've all heard that, right? But there was a little more to it. The grass is always greener on the other side because that's where the septic tank is. And you get all that sewage along with it. But my Lord doesn't need to take me to where the septic tank is. He leads me to where the grass is just perfect for me. And what's amazing is He knows what I need. He's leading me. So He's taking me to that specific spot where I can flourish the most. And He's taking you to that specific spot where you then can flourish the most. So I need to learn to relax and take my hands off the steering wheel of my life and let my shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because He's taking me to greener pastures. Number two. I said number one, the shepherd, as my shepherd, there's nothing I want. Number two, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. What does that mean, preacher? Well, that means He leads me to calm places. Listen, this world is turbulent. Just walk out here. It's amazing how much wind we have out here, isn't it? It seems like no matter what, there's always a 4-mile-an-hour wind, if not 30-mile-an-hour wind. It's turbulent out here. But the life I lead is turbulent, too. It seems like every time things get a little smooth, all of a sudden, you jerk to another direction, and there's another issue over here. And then, oh, there's another issue over here. And then this emergency happens over here. It just seems like everywhere we go in life, life is turbulent. But can I tell you the truth? Life is turbulent for everyone, saved or unsaved. And in the midst of that turbulence, if I allow Him to be my shepherd, I'll be calm. Remember when the disciples were out on the boat? And Jesus comes from His prayer time and He's walking on the water. And Peter says, hey, I want to do that too. And Jesus said, okay, come on, Peter. So Peter steps out on the water and he's doing pretty good. Then he starts to look around him and he sees, hey man, I'm walking on water. And he starts to panic because he knows that he's walking on the water and he's trying to figure out how he's doing it on his own. And he starts to sink. And in the turbulence that's taking place there, he reaches out to the Lord and says, help me. And the Lord reaches out, takes him by the hand, and walks him back to the ship. Later on, they are in the ship, in the same water, the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is sleeping in the front of the boat. And a huge storm comes up, and the waves are beating against this little boat that they're in, and water's coming in, and they're trying to bail it out as fast as it's coming in, and they're losing. And one of the disciples goes up into the front of the ship and wakes up Jesus and says, "Don't you care that we're about to drown here in this boat?" And Jesus stands up and immediately calms the sea. Now, I believe that was a miracle. But can I be honest with you? It's teaching us something. That in the midst of the most turbulent of your life, if you go to Jesus Christ and allow Him to be your shepherd, He will give you calmness in the midst of the turbulence. That's what He's saying here. He says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Calm waters. Oh, the wind may be blowing and it's going to blow. And the storms may be coming and there's storms coming. And there may be heartache and heartbreak and things that you and I don't understand constantly going on around us. But while we're going through it, and by the way, we got to go through it, He'll be there to calm us and give us a heart full of peace. I have one small illustration. I'll try to quickly tell it so I can wrap this up. My daughter Jennifer was born with hyaline membrane disease. That means she couldn't breathe. She was born premature. We rushed her down to a children's medical center and they put her in intensive care and they red tagged her twice. Red tag means they hung a tag up that said, "There's nothing more we can do. This child's gonna die." My sister came. My sister was studying to be a nurse at that time, or wanting to study to be a nurse at that time, and she was very upset. And I walked out there to talk with her and she said, "What are you gonna do?" I said, "Nothing." My sister was crying emotionally in turmoil. She said, "How come you're not all upset?" I said, "Well, I am, but I'm not. Whatever happens, it will be the will of my Savior." My sister wasn't saved at the time. She didn't understand that at all. She said, "Well, why aren't you demanding this or demanding that or doing this or doing that?" And I said, "I don't have anything to worry about. God's going to take care of this. Whether He takes her to heaven or whether she lives." Now, she did live. But what's so bad about God taking somebody to heaven? Think about that statement just for a second. For a Christian to die to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's so bad about that? I mean, we dodge it at every chance we get, buddy. We want to make sure we live a nice, long life. But the truth is that if she would have died, she would have never had to be tempted by the devil. The Bible says she would have gone straight to heaven as a child, not knowing sin. She would have never had to fight the devil like I have to fight the devil. She would have never had to be in tribulation like people are in tribulation. She would have never had to go through heartache like people go through heartache. And she's gone through heartache and she's gone through tribulation. She's gone through ups. She's gone through downs. And if the Lord would have taken her to heaven, what would have been bad about that? We call that a tragedy. I call it a blessing. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. And when turbulent times come, in the midst of the turbulent times, if I will trust Him and I will allow Him to lead me, He'll give me a calmness that nobody else understands. The Bible says, "A peace that passes understanding." That's what this is talking about. Let's look some more. Number three, He restoreth my soul. Number three, I said number one, He's my shepherd. There's nothing I need or want. Number two, He leads me beside still waters. Number three, He restoreth my soul. That means He saved me. He restored me from going to hell to going to heaven. He's totally restored me. No matter what happens the rest of my life, I'm on my way to heaven. You can't take it from me. You can't steal it from me. The devil can't have it. My soul's in the hand of my Savior. The Savior's hand is in the hand of the Father. And no man, no devil, no sin, nothing can take that soul, that my soul that's on its way to heaven, out of the hand of my Father. Because there's none greater than my God. Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I'm in His hand. He's restored me. I was in sin. I was separated from God forever, for all eternity. But now I'm restored in Jesus Christ. And now He's become my shepherd in everything I need. He restoreth my soul. Number four, because He saved me, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Because He saved me, He now leads me in paths of righteousness. I like to put it this way, for His glory. That's what He's talking about here. So God is now, as I go through life, going to lead me in places that are full of turmoil, heartbreak, heartache, so that I can give Him the glory and other people can see it in my life, so that I'll be an example to others of what Jesus could do for them if they would just trust Him. So many Christians ask, why does God allow me to go through these things? He's doing that so that you can give Him glory. And out of giving Him glory, others will see the power of God to keep you calm and give you a heart of peace while going through things, because He saved you, He redeemed you, He's given you those green pastures, He's led you beside the still waters, He restored your soul, and now you can glorify Him in everything that happens in your life. Isn't that amazing? Because He saved me, He leads me besides and through the paths of righteousness. So He wants me to do the right thing as I go through life. So He's going to lead me down this path. The Bible says it's a narrow path. And few there be that go in thereat. Number five. The valley of the shadow of death. Now this is where we get confused, and I'm almost done. The valley of the shadow of death is not physical death. That valley is of the result of sin and temptations that surround you and me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I'm surrounded by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're constantly bombarding you and me, and we're constantly going through this beating and this beating and this beating and this beating. And He says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to have to fear any evil, because I'm with you to deliver you. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, therefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I can overcome those sins and temptations in the valley of sin, in the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to give in to sin and temptation. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So that valley He's talking about, because He's my Savior. Because He's led me beside the still waters and given me calmness. Because He's given me good food to eat. Because He's given me that green grass to munch upon. Because He's fulfilled my every need. That when I get tempted, and we get tempted, I don't have to give in to that temptation. And if I don't give in to that temptation, it's because He's given me a way to escape it. He is my strength in a time of need. Now, may I say this? All of this is a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a choice. I can either do this or not do this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't have to give in to that temptation. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff. They comfort me. So it's a choice. Ladies and gentlemen, what a wonderful teaching we have in the 23rd Psalm. It's not for the dead. It's for the living. And it's a choice that we have to make. Heavenly Father, thank You for this simple truth.